Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Brooklyn's own Joe Causey from CBS FM.
And intern Anthony from New 102.7.
And this is episode number what?
I have no... Louie standing behind us. I have no idea.
Louis, what are we up to, Lou?
16.
Oh, lucky 16.
Maron.
Sweet 16. This is a big episode because holidays are all done. It's a brand new year. And we've got a brand new episode. And this is really, really cool today. You know why?
I see that a third microphone's lit up in the studio, Joe. What's going on?
A third microphone is in the studio. Besides being one of the best guys I know from the old neighborhood, he's probably one of the most sought-after actors right now in the movies, on TV, and everybody loves him. And tell everybody who's here, Ant.
Bobby Bacala, Steve Sciarippa's in the house.
Hey, guys.
What's up there, Stevie?
I thought everything's good.
It's been a long time since I saw you.
I know. So this is good for you. This is good. A new podcast.
Yeah, this is a new thing. We can say whatever we want. You know, it's a little bit.
But you know, you're not a curse guy.
No, I'm not a curse guy. I never was.
You know, it's not necessary.
No.
But at least you could talk and not 5-minute clips and
sound
bites and have a conversation. You could, you know.
Yeah, it's fun. It's really good because we get into
Where's
really
Anthony from? He's a Staten Island guy.
No, he's a Dyker Heights guy.
Really?
Yeah. Bensonhurst. Bensonhurst.
Surprised me. Yeah. All right, very good.
Where'd you live? What street?
84th, between 15th and 16th.
Oh, nice.
We just moved to 2 months ago. My parents bought the house 20 years ago, and before that, they lived on Bay 10th and Bay 49th.
Neighborhood's still okay.
And now he's by me.
Where were you?
Staten Island.
Yeah, now you went to Staten Island.
Yeah.
You guys can't help yourself.
You
got to walk that guinea gang plank.
Oh, yeah. Where were you in Brooklyn when you lived there?
Bay 11th and Benson.
Oh, by me. I was on Bath and Bay 46.
Yeah, Bay 11th and Benson. I was there. Bay 13, between Benson and Bath when I was younger, and then when a little older, and I was there for years.
What a great neighborhood it was back then.
Back then it was, but it was also a rough neighborhood. You know, people forget. You know, you see these guys, oh, it was the best. It was a rough neighborhood then,
too. It was, but everybody was in line.
Well, yes and no. You go, you know, I remember us going also downtown, like, and I remember you go downtown, like now's Carroll Gardens, it was South
Court Street
then.
Around there. Yeah.
You were gonna have a problem.
Oh yeah,
you know, it was white guys beating up white guys, Italian guys beating up other Italian guys.
Turf war.
There was a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, a lot of turf war.
You know, so when they say it was a good neighborhood to grow up in, but not without problems.
Right, you had the Avenue U crew, you had the Bath Avenue crew.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's how
Bath
it was.
Bath Avenue, you had every other block. There was a different group.
I know.
You know, Dyker Park had guys, Louisiana Lanes guys.
Remember Louisiana Lanes?
I mean, there was problems. You go bowling, you're going to have a fight.
You don't know Louisiana Lanes.
No, he's a baby. Well,
was that a bowling alley?
How old are you?
Yeah, you have no clue.
I'm 22 years old.
He's a baby.
Yeah.
See, I'm glad that you said that because when people describe Bensonhurst and Brooklyn all together back in the day, they all say, oh, you don't know what you were missing. They make it sound like it was heaven on earth.
It wasn't heaven on earth. It was not. I don't believe that. It was a good place to work, to grow up. Your neighborhood, it was close-knit. You knew a lot of people, but it was not without problems. I mean, there was problems. There was wise guys and tough guys, and, you know, you walk down the wrong block, there's problems. You know, it wasn't a love fest.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, let's not kid ourselves.
It wasn't like Woodstock,
See, you know, people forget that. I mean, there was problems. When I was in elementary school, there was fights in the schoolyard.
Where'd you go to school?
163.
Oh, okay.
There was fights. You know, Lafayette, there was problems. Dyker, where I went, 201, was a tough school, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was problems. They were busing kids in. There was all kinds of crap going on.
Yeah, we went to the same high school. I went to Lafayette, too.
They make it sound like...
Now it's closed.
Yeah, well, it went to crap a long time ago.
What a shame. Yeah, we talk about that every week. We try to, you know, I try to school him on the old Brooklyn, and he's going to, you know, talk about, oh, this place and that place.
You went to a place, you still go to Bay Ridge, you have a fight.
Right.
They're having fights in the same bars for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
They're still having fights there.
And they're wearing the same cologne.
Exactly. You still got some wannabe wise guys.
Mm-hmm.
And mixed in with real guys, and there's still problems.
You're right. 100%.
I mean, when they say it was not, it was a good place to be from, you know, but
it really
it wasn't without its problems.
It really was. And like, you wouldn't go to Coney Island back then. You know what I mean? You had to be...
Yeah, Coney Island went to crap in the 60s. When I was young, we used to go there, and it was good. And they had, like, the beach clubs, and my mother belonged.
Ravenhall
and the other one, Washington Baths.
Right.
You know, then it was good. Then it went bad in the 70s, Dan. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like the Warriors.
It was. I remember when they filmed that there.
Warriors.
I went down to Stewart Avenue and I was watching with the hearse there, and they were filming that. You know?
I mean, then it went bad, yeah. It was crappy there in the 70s.
It was a rough time. But it's changing. And there's a lot of areas are changing for the better right now.
Yeah, I mean, Joe even tells me all the time that he's very afraid to walk through Carroll Gardens, right?
Me?
Yeah.
Not afraid to walk anywhere.
You're afraid of the hipsters,
no? Get out of here, please.
Carroll Gardens is a nice neighborhood now.
Yeah.
Like, when I was young, you know, I had some friends down there from playing baseball, and so we would go, you know, go to their neighborhood down there. They had Park Slope. It was a crap hole then. Mm-hmm.
Now, forget it.
I mean, now it's beautiful, and I like both neighborhoods, but back then it was not a good place, man. You know, it was a lot of problems. Then you could have bought a brownstone probably for, you know, in the early 70s, $35,000.
Forget it. You can't touch it.
And the people that became the people that was too stubborn to leave, that said, hey, nobody's going to chase me out of my house. They hung around long enough.
They got the cash now.
Now they're millionaires, you know, by accident.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
My grandfather lived in Red Hook.
I think I went to high school with your grandfather, probably. He's 22. How old's your grandfather?
He's in his 70s.
He's too old for us. Yeah.
He grew up in Red Hook. And when his mom and dad moved out of the house, he stayed there. And then a couple years later, he went to go sell it. And his neighbor was like, no, you should keep it. And he was like, no, this neighborhood will never be worth anything.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have had to work today.
Listen, I love what they did with Williamsburg.
Mm-hmm.
I love what they did with Greenpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that I was that familiar with them. You know, when you're from that part of Brooklyn, you don't go to that part of Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
But I love what they did to Brooklyn.
I've never been to Williamsburg in my life.
My God.
Never been there.
We shoot there, so I'm down there, you know, but it's... Hey, listen, if you're a kid in your 20s or 30s, I mean, that's
a cool place to go.
It's a good place to be.
It's all hipsters.
Not me.
Segways, guys with beards,
I dress
Starbucks.
The same. I wear my hair the same since 1981.
Well, you don't have much of a choice there, my friend. That's not here nor there.
What is it? It grows in the back, but it doesn't grow on the top anymore.
It grows in your ass, out of your nose.
Out of your nose.
In your ears.
The ears.
It's disgusting. Yeah, it's disgusting.
It really is.
So I'm going to lose this?
Oh, that's going.
You think?
Oh, for
sure. Is your father bald?
No. He's got a full head of hair.
Really?
Yeah.
How old's your father?
It's receding a little bit. 56, 57.
It's receding a little bit. Yeah. No, that's. I can tell that's going.
Nice.
Look, he's turning all colors. Look at him. Like, I mean, he's sweating.
You should start wearing a toupee now.
So that people think just
in case.
I could
never do that.
That would be terrible.
I could never do that.
How self-conscious you would be every moment.
Yeah.
You know, you think somebody's looking at you.
And we know a lot of people in radio that wear those things. They look like raccoons
easy.
On their head.
Easy.
You know?
Take it easy.
I'm not going that route.
Some of them are just terrible. I guess the ones that we don't know, maybe there are guys wearing them that, you know.
Oh, no, you can tell.
I think you got to have the curly ones, like a little afro. Mm-hmm. Those are good. When you wear
the 70s porno movies.
Yeah.
Swedish erotica wigs.
Those guys get away with it.
Yeah. I got to ask you a question. How did it feel from, you know, being on The Sopranos, right, for so many years? You were a major part of the show. Going from a wise guy, and now you're a good guy.
No,
on TV.
Well, listen, I was on another show after The Sopranos for 5 years.
Oh, I know,
years.
I know. Yeah. Teenage...
I was on that show. So I was trying... Look, I knew what was going to happen with The Sopranos, you know, and I knew it was going to end, and I knew it was going to be hard to work.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys didn't. Some guys, I guess, you know, thought that was it. We're good. We're stars. We're going to continue on.
Doesn't sound like that.
I knew better, so that's why I did the books and I, you know, created stuff.
Nikki Deuce.
I made a movie out of the book for Nickelodeon and all the other things. And I wanted very hard. I turned down numerous wise guy stuff early on. After
you didn't want to get stereotyped into that.
Well, you know, it's hard. Listen, I'm not going to play an English professor. Let's not kid ourselves.
Well, you never know.
I'm a blue collar guy, and now it's fine. There's enough roles. I mean. This guy that I played was a guy He owned a sausage factory. He was wealthy. He had a teenage kid. I mean, there's Italian guys that, believe it or not, are not in the
wise
mob,
guys, right?
You know, I mean, which still people in the world don't want to believe that, and you still mm-hmm. get smart remarks from people. I mean,
oh, all the time.
I don't know if you do.
Oh, I
do. You
know? All the time.
Things that if they would say to another nationality, mm-hmm. it would be, you know, like flabbergasted. You know, right. Like really, you know, hey, you're not gonna you're not gonna kill me, are you? You know, stupid things like
that.
Oh,
I get that here. All
say
the time.
Forget about it. Yeah. I says I don't say forget about it. I've never said that in my life. So, you know, stuff like that. You know that you get, but. This opportunity came up. The show was shooting in L.A., and they sent me 3 episodes of The Secret Life of the American Teenager. So I did wind up doing 110 episodes, so I kind of felt I got out of the mob thing. Also, you know, they're not going to do it better than The Sopranos. I find it hard mm-hmm. to believe. I'm not saying never.
Oh, the prequel they got?
Well, no, whatever. I'm not even talking about the prequel. I'm just saying that you get a movie, we're doing a movie, blah, 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 blah. And now what are you going to go? Say the same old crappy, I'm going to break your head, I'm going to mm-hmm. break your head. Mm-hmm. Get over here. You know, it's like, come on,
enough,
man.
Enough is enough.
Enough is enough. It's not good, usually. Mm-hmm. Enough is enough. I played a wise guy in Woody Allen's movie. I wanted to work with Woody Allen, me and Tony Sirico. That was something a little different. Playing a cop, a lot of people say there's a fine line between a wise guy and a cop. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of guys, we come from the same neighborhood. How many cops do you know?
A lot.
So do I. Friends I grew up with are cops, a fireman, you know, and everything in between. So when I got the opportunity on Blue Bloods, I mean, I jumped at it. You know, they offered me 1, maybe 2, and I've done over 50. And by the end of this year, I've done more Blue Bloods than Sopranos. You know,
and you did over 25 movies.
Yeah, but it's some better than others. You
well,
know.
Still, that's 25 movies to your credit. That's
but
a
I've
big
tried
deal.
To stay away from that. You know, I played a chef with Clint Eastwood. You know, I had a good role in that.
How was it working with Clint Eastwood?
He's great. He's the best.
What do you think of his new movie, The Mule?
I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
I like him. I like him very much. We kind of hit it off. I was in Hair After. Then I was in Jersey Boys, just one scene. I was up for the Christopher Walken role, which I didn't get. And so he kind of threw me a bone, mm-hmm. and he paid me good money and flew me out. And what am I going to say no to Clint Eastwood? So I played I was shaving in the opening scene. I'm shaving.
I remember that.
I'm shaving. Yeah. Christopher Walken. But no, Clint's a good guy, and I introduced him to a restaurant here on Elizabeth Street, Peasant, that my friend Frankie DiCarlo owns, and I met him over there. Him and some of the guys from the movie, and he's gone back numerous times. I liked him very much. Mm-hmm. You know, I shot the Hair After. I think I was on 2 or 3 days, and we talked a lot. And I think he's a great guy. A lot of fun. Wants to be there. A lot of fun to work with. Not many takes. You better be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You can't come in and think you're going to ease your way into it. You better know your
stuff.
Know
your stuff, yeah. I got to say, now you grew up in Brooklyn, and then while you were filming The Sopranos, you were living downtown, right, in Little Italy?
Yeah, for a while. Mm-hmm. I was living in Vegas for a while.
I know you were.
I lived in Vegas for over 20-something years. And then the first couple of years, I commuted. You know, I went back and forth.
I remember when you were doing that.
Yeah. Then I got a place in Little Italy. Yeah, I lived on above Il Cortile.
Right, great restaurant. Yeah. Carmine, great guy.
I lived up there for a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
and that was fun at the time. And then it got a little crazy down there. You
did
know?
You get a lot of... how could I say a lot of hints from the people around Little Italy for the show?
Well, I got one especially. You know, I was bringing my dirty laundry down the block on Kenmare Street.
Chinese laundry?
No. It wasn't a Chinese laundry. That's terrible, Joe. It's a terrible joke. I was taking it down to the dry cleaner. And and the guy stopped me. Hey, Steve, you know, I love the show. Guy that I knew from the neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
Good guy. And he said, you know, listen, anybody who killed anyone knows that's not how you do it. I said, all right, Rocky, listen, I got to get rolling now.
Yeah.
So you got a little of that, you know. And listen, when we're doing the show, you got a lot of, hey, you know, my nephews in Rikers. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he started talking to you like a wise guy. You know, my nephews in Rikers, you know, time. I said, I don't know. I'm an actor, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's all
about.
Fake, buddy. It's all
you
fake.
You know, that's something that people don't get off of. To this day, you got some of that.
Right. Do you still go back to Vegas?
About once a year.
Now you were there like when I was there, because I was there in the late 70s, early 80s, and I know a lot of the people that you knew from there.
Yeah.
You know, going to the, what was that, the brewery there?
I
all
ran
those
the
places.
Brewery for
right?
2 years.
Yeah, I got a lot of trouble in that place one day. Anyway, compared to Vegas to today back then, what's the difference?
Oh, it's no comparison. You know, I caught the tail end. That was the tail end of the good times,
right.
You know. There was only 350,000 people there. It was very cheap to live. I think my first apartment was $240.
Wow.
Now it's a, but it changed. Like from 80 to 90 was a big change. Then from 90 to 2000 was a big change. And so on. Every 10 years, it got an influx of people. And not good people.
Corporate.
But not good people. A lot of the garbage came. You know, when I first moved to Vegas, a guy told me, he said, the whole country flushes their toilet and they wind up here. And it's the truth.
Jeez.
I mean, Vegas, and I have a lot of good friends still there, and there's a lot of good people there, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But there's a lot of transients. If you have a bad habit, it's going to rear its ugly head because there's nobody telling you to go home. There's nobody saying not to gamble. You know, you come home now at 6 in the morning and you tell your neighbor, yeah, I was up gambling all night and they might go, ooh, what's up with Joe here?
Yeah.
You know, and then over there, it's just
normal.
Normal. You know, we're gambling. And, oh, she's at work. I remember picking up my dry cleaning one time in Vegas. Little lady, she says, you know, she's a working girl. You know, she's a hooker.
Yeah,
telling me she's a hooker, like whispering to me.
Yeah.
Like,
we know.
All right. I mean, but you know what I mean? It's like, it's just, it's accepted.
Bad
behavior is kind of accepted. People go there for that. At the time, I was 21, 22. I was there for that. I was single. There was girls everywhere.
Me too.
Everywhere. You know, all over the country, all over the world. It was the greatest time at the time, you know. But a lot of guys had problems. I seen a lot of people from New York, married couples, get out there, break up.
Done.
Guys have big gambling problems, drug problems, alcohol problems. Not that it couldn't happen here.
It's more in your face out there.
Hey, listen, there was guys from New York who married hookers. And I was going, really? Because back then, the only hookers I knew about were like in Coney Island, right?
Oh,
like,
by Gargiulo's
right
over
there. Right, like
not that I ever went, but that's where I saw them.
You had a black girl with a big blonde wig.
Yeah.
Remember, like on the corner. So when you're saying hookers, they didn't look like hookers.
Yeah.
They were just like, and then guys are with them. I'm going, how do you even find, you know what I mean? Like when I first got out there. But it was great. My wife was born there. My kids were born there.
Mm-hmm.
I had a good time. It was very good to me there, you know. I had a really good time there.
You were part of the Riviera.
I was maitre d' for many years.
Yeah.
Ran the entertainment. I saw Sinatra probably 25 times. Played the Riviera. I saw Tony. I booked Tony Bennett. I booked the Beach Boys.
You could literally write a book about that.
Yeah.
You literally. I think you should.
Some of my books I've written.
No, but you should do just because people love that.
I booked a lot of the acts. I mean, Ray Romano the first time in the big room. Dennis Leary. David Spade, Drew Carey. I mean, I gave all these guys the first shot. There was a comedy club, and then I had a 1,000-seat big room, and I booked people for the first time there. So that was a lot of fun to me. You know, we were kind of, you know, and then they would leave because, you know, and I would ask everyone, I would say, just give me one more shot. I'm taking a chance with you here. Just give me the other shot, the mm-hmm. second time. Every act did except for David Spade.
Wow.
David Spade was the only one. But everybody gave me, you know, D.L. Hughley, George Lopez. I mean, I could go on and on. I get Jeff Dunham. I mean, I'll talk all day long of the guys that I worked with. And then they came back one more time. Kevin James, all these guys, good guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just kind of breaking themselves, you know. And I work with a lot of people in the club, Rosie O'Donnell, and all the DeGeneres.
I knew.
You know, what's his name? I mean, Richard Belzer, Bill Maher. I mean, everybody. And then the lounge acts, you know, I booked 2-3 acts a night, you know. The big room. We had the Beach Boys. I'll tell you a funny story. So We got the Beach Boys for the Riviera's 40th anniversary. You know, Carl Wilson. Carl Wilson was alive. Right. Everyone was there but Dennis. Brian, you know, he's a little shot, the guy.
Yeah.
So we want to sell tickets, so my boss tells me, float a rumor, Brian's coming. So I tell the radio station, you know, I hear Brian's coming. So now they're talking it up, blah, blah, blah. Brian came.
Wow.
I swear to God, I don't know why, what hair, you know. And he came. We had the 40th anniversary. It was fantastic. We sold 3,500 seats. You know, Brian hadn't played with them in years, mm-hmm. man, you know. So that was fun. Dion, I mean, Bobby Vinton, you know, a lot of acts on the way up or the way down.
Down, right, know, right. But you've been, like I'm saying, you put a book together just with stories like that. That's what people want to know about. You know, that's great stuff.
It was good stuff.
This guy here wants to get into comedy. He does impersonations. I mean, guide this little guy.
Hey, listen, if you're going to do it, man, you got to step in. You got to do it now. It's not easy.
No.
Give him a couple of voices. Go ahead. Give him Gandolfini's voice.
All right. You want me to start rolling them off, Joe?
Yeah, give him some. Okay. I want you to wow Steve Sciarippa right now.
All right. Here we go. Ready?
Go ahead.
You got to do the breathe. It's very important to do the breathe. If you don't do the breathe, then, you know, James just doesn't work.
Not bad. You're a little high, though.
A little high, okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, keep going.
Well, that just comes with it. But if you get angry, then you start to get lower with James.
Not bad. Go ahead. Okay.
All right. Here's a little bit of Tony Sirico, Paulie. All right.
Ready? I didn't hear this one.
Yeah, you did. Yeah? The other day I showed it to you. Go. Ready, Joe?
Go ahead.
Joe, I never told this to another soul in my life. Back at the Bing, I saw the freaking Mother Teresa.
That's good. That's
very
good.
Very good.
And then I'll end it with, yeah, just when I thought it was out, they pulled me back in.
And who else do you do besides Sopranos?
Yeah.
Oh, I got it. I mean, do you watch Family Guy?
Yeah.
All right, so if I did Peter Griffin, you'd understand exactly what the hell I was doing right away.
Nice.
And then I got his son, Stewie Griffin, too.
He's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
I like it. Now you just got to put that into an act.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I gotta tell you, Steve, the podcast we do, Brooklyn's Old Podcast, it's old school versus new school. Every week we do that. And when Joe watched The Sopranos, Joe watched it on TV. My entire generation of people, and I have friends that can recite the show from season one, episode one, to season 6B, Made in America, word for word, every single thing that happened just by watching it off an iPad.
I streamed
the entire show 5 years ago. In a matter of 3 weeks, one summer wasted a whole month.
But it's a whole different generation, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. Watching it, like I have a daughter, 23, one 27. They watch all the stuff same way, you know.
And he's never seen Goodfellas.
No, it's a good movie.
No, I got mesmerized. I got to be honest, I got mesmerized right away by The Sopranos when I started streaming and all of that. And then that just took it into, all right, I'm not going to watch anything else. I got 6 seasons worth of content here.
Yeah, I watched last night, Raging Bull was on, late at
night.
Good
movie.
Yeah. De Niro I can't stand, so I don't like Robert De Niro.
Because of his whole political thing?
No, nothing about Trump. I don't give a crap about that.
Uh-huh.
He's not a nice guy. I don't think he's a good guy. I think he's a greedy bastard. I've been in his company, not happy. I'm not a fan, so I have a hard time watching him. Especially the stuff now. He's just garbage.
Yeah, really.
You know, the old stuff, okay. But, you know, Raging Bull was an incredible movie.
Right.
You know?
Godfather 2. I mean,
incredible.
He did well.
Godfather 2, I think I liked better than Godfather 1. You know,
I like Godfather 2
better.
I mean,
Goodfellas is a classic mob movie. I mean, it's a great, great movie.
Casino.
With great characters.
Casino.
Casino was okay. Mm-hmm. Wasn't great.
That one I've seen.
You know, it was okay. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was a great movie. It was a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And there were a lot of locals in that movie too.
They put a lot of people in. A lot of
locals. Yeah. Tell us about Blue Bloods. What's going to be going on there this year?
You know, listen, we're shooting. I got to work tomorrow. We're down to our last 8 episodes. We're shooting. Show's 9th season. Hopefully, we'll keep going. And they win every Friday night over. 9, 10.
Well, it's a good show.
$12 million. Mm-hmm. It's a great show. 12 million people. Great show. Donnie Wahlberg's great. Tom Selleck, Bridget Moynihan, the whole cast. You know, New York City's like another character. You know, I was in Tribeca shooting the other day. Happy to be a part of it. Really
They're
good.
They're filming
writing.
Today a huge thing downtown. I saw on 6th Avenue down here. Huge. I mean, I saw about 40 trailers Or parked along 6th Avenue.
I don't know if it's a movie. There's so many things going on.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
But no, it's a great show. I'm happy to be there. Like I said, I've done over 50 episodes, and they write me some really good stuff. The writing is great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good, man. It's,
I mean, you've got your hands
in
everything.
Once in a while, you got to, you know, you catch a break. I've been very lucky. Because to do the acting, Joe, is a lot of luck. Mm-hmm. And no matter what anyone tells you, you know. I mean, right place, right time, right character. It's not easy. You see guys that have worked a long time, and then you don't see them anymore.
Right.
How many people have been on hit shows, and then you go, where the hell's that guy mm-hmm. been?
But you're smart. You're treating it as a business, and you're picking choosing.
Absolutely.
You're picking and choosing the right roles.
You also
got to
remember, I was on the other side of the business.
Right.
You know.
Right, so you know.
So I know a lot more than your average actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just doing my thing. I'm getting older. Happy to be there. I hope this show lasts. If not, we'll see what else comes.
And you still got the pasta sauce thing.
The pasta sauce is great. That's going fantastic. Uh-huh. Uncle Steve's.
I love it.
UncleSteve'sNY.com. Now, mm-hmm. you know, we took it out of the grocery stores because, and I kid you not, they're worse than the mob. Mm-hmm. They just stick you up. You got to pay.
Right, because you want to go on the end of the aisle. And you got to you gotta come up with the fazools.
You got to pay more for that. It's just like the book business.
Oh, I know.
You know, in the book business, you know, you have the table when you go to Barnes & Noble and they go, hey, you know, Barnes & Noble picks. These are our picks. Well, you paid to get on that table.
Right.
You know, and you paid when you're going down the aisle to have the book facing you. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, it's... kickback, kickback, kickback. They could call it whatever they want, but it certainly is that.
Yeah, because I've been with you at a couple of other supermarkets, a couple of stores I was with. Yeah,
and you know, we were in 3,000 stores and paid a lot of money to get into some of them, not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were happy to have us. It's a great product. But some of these distributors, UNFI and some of these other ones, they just, you send them a invoice for 30 grand, they send you back 3 grand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is a terrible way to do business. And we're just a small company. So now we got Fresh Direct, Amazon, and UncleSteve'sNY.com.
And those of you who are listening, you know, and listening to the podcast in other parts of the country, other parts of the world, we have listeners all over the world now with this thing, which is really cool.
World, really?
Yeah, we found out that we got 2 people in Japan. Right?
Yeah, oh, nice. I'm still trying to find out their names.
What the hell they understand that me and you were saying, I don't
know.
Don't
mess with, I love sushi. Don't mess with them.
That's so do I.
All right, be nice.
Anyway,
if you want to order the sauce, you can go to UncleSteve'sNY.com. That's UncleSteve'sNY.com. Great stuff. And you're going to be in Long Island, right? With the Sinatra meets Sopranos.
Oh, yeah, we're doing the shows. It's called Sinatra meets Sopranos. It's Michael Martucci. He's a
good guy.
Stylist, a great guy.
Great
we
Sinatra
did,
singer.
We've been doing the show for years, and Michael's joined us. We did Red Bank, Count Basie Theater, 1,400 seats. We're doing Atlantic City, February 9th at the Borgata.
Mm-hmm.
It's myself, Michael Imperioli, Vinnie Pastore, Michael Martucci, 24-piece big band.
He has a great band.
March 23rd, we are at the Fountain Blue in Miami.
Saturday night.
Saturday night, we are there, same show. And then we are May 4th, we are at the theater at Westbury.
Okay.
With Theater at Westbury, the 3 of us, Joey Cola also.
Great guy.
And
does the Rachel Ray
show.
Great
comment. Worked for me for years in Vegas. Terrific guy. And we got Vegas on the hook, and we played Detroit. We got a bunch of other stuff pending. And then we're going to Australia, 5-city tour.
Down Under.
In May, yes.
You're going Down Under.
We're going, we're doing Sydney, Perth, Melbourne, blah, 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 and we're doing it out there. So first time any of us have ever been to Australia. Have you been?
Never.
Yeah, so we're going to go. A lot of Italians
I've eaten
there.
Kangaroo, but I've never...
You've eaten kangaroo?
There's a great comedian in Australia that I met. His name is Joe Avati. You got to check him out online. Check him out on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really funny because he speaks Italian, but with an Australian accent. It's really amazing, and I went to see him at a show, and he's a really a funny guy, but he's talking Italian in Australian. It's really weird to watch. Some crazy stuff. What's going on there?
We're just planning everything out.
What are you planning? I don't like people writing things.
What are you planning?
I don't like that. There's like some underhanded stuff going on over there.
We got Louie behind us asking us what to do. What's going to go on for the rest of the show, Joe?
How long is your show?
As long as we want. I could go on for days.
Really?
Days I can go on.
Sometimes Joe goes off on tangents, and then 4 days later we come in for work, and he's still in here talking about something.
And then you edit it down? What do you do?
Yeah, we edit it down if we can.
Well, I did Joe Rogan's podcast. He's got a three-hour podcast.
Wow.
He goes, sits down, and you talk for 3 hours. I only did about an hour and a half.
Oh, okay. All right.
Joe's got one of the biggest ones.
Well, he's Joe Rogan. He's kind of nutty, too, right?
Nah, he's a good guy.
He's a good guy?
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's got his way, but I think he's a great guy.
Way. I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up, Lo?
Why don't you ask Steve about your cookie thing? About your tipping?
Oh, yeah. They were embarrassed. I brought this up at the last podcast, and I got holy hell out of this. You know when the holidays come around, right?
Yeah.
And people do the right things with you, you know, through the year. Don't you like give them? I give them like boxes of cookies.
Oh, that's great. Isn't I give great? Everybody everything. You know what? How much I give away?
See?
I have no idea.
All right, wait a minute.
What I mean?
My building. I don't. My building. The doorman. The super people at work.
Right.
The people that did the right thing. The guys at Faico's Deli. They made my order. Put 20 for the boys.
Great
sandwiches
there,
cup.
Man.
You got to do the right thing, especially around.
What? He's twisting his words. That's not what he said last week. He's full of it. He said
what
that
did
when
say?
He
nobody
said,
gets nothing.
He said that when he goes to the hospital, he tips the nurses and the doctors
right.
and gives them
absolutely.
Cookies.
See?
I never heard of. That
how way. Could you have never heard of this? It's like a
no matter what.
Listen, you give them a little something.
They take care of you.
Let me tell you this: the people that took care of you, you give them certainly.
You reciprocate.
And then if you have, God forbid, someone you know in there, give a girl a $50. Say, listen, make sure you take good care of my friend.
Right, and they will.
I have a 92-year-old guy last year in Vegas. I gave the orderly $50. Make sure he's eating. Da da da. They snatched that money up. I'll tell you a funny story. My daughter's getting baptized.
Okay.
My first daughter, I think, in Vegas.
Okay.
The priest married me, Father White. I love him. May he rest in peace. I got the restaurant. It's my second daughter. Mm-hmm. I got the restaurant from 2 to 5. Then they're going to open. You know what I mean? So I got it. And the baptism is from 1 to... whatever, too, you know. So I want to be alone. I don't want to have, you know, they baptize 4 babies, mm-hmm. 8 babies, right. 7 babies. I go see Father White. I said, Father, listen, a couple things. You know, I want to do it just myself, okay? You know, just my baby.
Private.
Okay, no problem, blah, 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 blah. I give him a couple of hundred. His hand came out from under that robe faster than any maitre d'
like a crab.
Listen to me. Boom. Yes, my son. Boom. Then I said, Father, another thing. We got to be out of there by 1:45, okay? Boom. He snatched up the money again. I'm at the church. There's about 150 people there. He's giving the sermon. It's beautiful. Da, da, da. He looks at his watch. Hey, Steve, how am I doing on time?
Oh.
My wife gave me a look. You could tip anyone. And
yes.
Doctors, absolutely. You bring them a bottle of wine. You bring them something. You'll see. Do you know what tipping me tips? To ensure proper service.
Right. He's from Vegas.
That's
the whole
what
town
it means.
Ran on
it
that.
It revolves on that. A little bit of money goes a long way.
Tell them out of valet guys what they do in Vegas.
I'll tell you another thing. I go see my mother when I move back here. My mother was a complainer. She complained. How you feeling? No good. You want to eat something? No, no, no. And then before I leave, I would give her a couple of $100. And for the last 10 minutes, she was in a good mood.
Right.
I tell my wife, I'm going to give her the money up front this time. Me and my wife go and visit her in Jersey. I walk in. I give her $200 right up front. Here you go, Ma. Oh, what are you doing? Why are you crazy? What do you want? You want a beer? You want something? No, Ma, no. So we stay an hour. At the end, I give her another $200. Hey, Ma, pa 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 pa. She's crying now. Oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? Can you break one of these? I swear to God, that's a true story. I swear to God.
I love that.
That is my honest to God true story.
I love that.
So anybody could be tipped. I wouldn't try to tip a cop. That wouldn't be good.
All right.
Okay? I wouldn't tip a cop. But otherwise, people do the right thing, or you want them. Sometimes you got to take a shot. You say, I'm going to buy this guy something. Let's see if he loosens up a little.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You bring him a sandwich. You bring him whatever, a box of cookies. You bring him a bottle of wine, whatever it is. Years ago, I had Soprano shirts. I bring him. Bring him some sauce. Try to crack him a little bit. That way, when you call the doctor again, when you gave the secretary a bottle of wine, you'll see how your appointment's easier to get.
Yeah. I got to go to my urologist in a couple of weeks. You know for a fact I'm bringing not the regular basic cookies. I'm bringing the good cookies.
And then you also got, listen, you got guys even in a restaurant. You're sitting there waiting. There's a wait. A half-hour wait. You go up there, give the girl $10, $20. Come on. We're going to go sit down.
Mm-hmm. That I could see. In a restaurant, any kind of food I could see. I just couldn't understand the hospital.
So now you understand. It took Steve Shripa for you to
Steve
understand.
Shripa to come in
so,
and help
so you
me
don't
and
trust
Louis.
Me is what you're saying.
Especially in the hospital. You got to do the right thing.
Yeah.
I just felt like the doctor, they're going to take care of you no matter what. It's law.
But you'll be surprised you get a little extra something.
That's right.
I'm not saying they're going to let you die if you don't bring them cookies.
That's right. Like, does the trip to Villabate before I go depend on
And I'm
not
talking Entenmann's either. I mean, if you give them Entenmann's, you ain't getting nothing.
One of the trays from Villabate. I mean,
especially, you got to take care of the people that control, the assistants.
Right.
People like that. You got to take care of those people. They're controlling the stuff, you know? Believe me. Don't try to tip a cop. Huh? Well, that doesn't work.
Imagine on the way home from here, hey, Steve Shripa told me to give you $20. I get pulled over.
You know, there's hard to get, you know, things that are hard to get, you know what I mean? Like your appointments and stuff like that.
Right.
And you kind of have to, you know.
What about Lower Manhattan here? You're from, you live in the city now, right?
Yes.
You're downtown?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you see the change? Because I see it.
De Blasio is one of the worst human beings that's ever walked the face of the earth.
Okay. And I appreciate that. I kid you not. Applaud on
that. He is a horrible, horrible human. He looked to destroy this city, and he did it very quickly, much quicker than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the homeless problem's way worse. And I take the trains quite a bit. Every train, there's a beggar on every train.
Every train. Mm-hmm.
And they're very aggressive. They're very aggressive now.
And they look at you.
It's no longer, you know, you know, it's just a homeless guy. They're very aggressive. There's also, because the cops can't do their job, a lot of times they're doing one hand tied behind their back.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I know the commissioner, and I like him very much. I'm sure he's got his hands tied. Because of that, it seems people out there are braver. You know, they're braver and more aggressive and looking to start a fight and yell and scream because nothing's going to happen to them,
right.
You know. Nothing's going to happen. They're taking pictures. They're taking photos. So, and I'm not talking black. I'm talking white, black, and everything in between.
That's right.
I'm talking the people of New York City. It is much different. I moved back here in 2000. It's a much different city.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Rudy went off his rocker. I knew Rudy. I don't dislike him, but he went a little, I don't know where he went. Bloomberg was good, a little extreme. Doesn't understand. I like after one of the hurricanes. Yeah, go to a play. Get out of the house. Go to a play. Mm-hmm. These people can't feed themselves.
Right.
Go to a play for $200. So he's a little out of touch. Yeah. Go to dinner. There's another $200. You know.
Mm-hmm. So try parking your car.
Yeah.
$150.
You know. So out of touch here. You know. De Blasio though just wants it the other way. He's a communist, as far as I'm concerned.
Giving everything away.
I mean, you know, I work hard, pay my taxes. My father was a bum, and he didn't work for 30 years, sat on the couch and collected a disability. He would love De Blasio.
Yeah.
He would have loved them because he don't have to work. You get the phone, you know, everything on the arm.
This was me 2 days ago. Ready? I had to get my license is expiring because my birthday's coming up.
Yeah.
Hint. Okay? So I had to get a new license. So I wanted this new enhanced license. You could get
enhanced.
It's like you don't need a passport with this license. You can go anywhere with it.
You bring them a box of cookies?
No. It's called enhanced.
Do that afterwards. Yeah.
Okay, so listen. I go that you need like birth certificates, this, that, social security cards. There you go. Here, Lewis has one. See? This is enhanced, okay? I didn't have my social security card. I couldn't find it. You know, I don't even know where it is. So I had to go down to social security to get a new card 2 days ago. Let me tell you something right now. You want to see the dregs of society?
Yeah.
Walk in that office.
Well, it's like a Fellini movie, DMV.
Holy.
But don't you know anybody at this
DMV,
point?
No, DMV, I was hooked up. That was good. I'm talking Social Security.
Oh.
I had to get a new card, put in for a new card.
How old are you?
I don't even remember.
Come on.
I don't remember.
What, are you going to get twatty about that?
Really? I don't remember. My birthday's on Groundhog's Day. That's why it's the same thing every year.
You get twatty?
I guess we'll move on.
I didn't know you were so vain, Joe.
I went to the Vinny Pastor School of religion.
I think he's 2 or 3 years older than me.
Vinny's 72.
I know he is.
Yeah, he looks good.
Yeah, I'm 62.
I'm 61. We're old. We got old.
We went to school together.
We got old.
Yeah, we did.
We got old. It happened. I was 30, and then all of a sudden, I was 58. You know, we got old.
It's weird. Like, you wake up in the morning, right, and you look in the mirror, and you go, holy crap, I look old. But then after the shower and a little moisturizer, you know, a little Jergens on your face, you look pretty good. But that morning thing is rough.
Yeah, I mean, I wake up, everything's...
I could go out and shock a pool.
I mean, I hear all kinds of things. I mean, my back hurts, my knees hurt, my legs hurt, everything.
And we still think we could do it.
Everything's cracking. Well, in your head, you're 35. But,
could you imagine staying out till 4 o'clock in the morning, you just go to Pastels and then waking up like 10 o'clock to go to work the next day?
Come on, when I was in Vegas, I came home 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
I remember that.
I would get off work. I used to work 11 to 7 or 1 to 9 at night. When I left at 9 a.m., the dance floor was full.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would go out. I would go out. You're out until 2, 3 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving you, it was a place, you know, the sunglasses, when you go to the eye doctor, they give you the cardboard.
Right.
They had the bars. logo on it. They give it to you before you leave.
Well, I was living with a friend of ours.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about, right? And it was weird for me because we would go out at like 9 o'clock at night, stay out all night, and come home like 8, 9 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then go to sleep. And then wake up and then do it again.
You were on the opposite thing, yeah.
Yeah. It was like, and it took a while to get used to it. And then I'll never forget, it was in the middle of the summer. My father used to do the feast in Brooklyn, you know, back then. 90 degrees. And my friends were breaking, because I was supposed to be working in a club out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it fell through, you know, okay? And I was just hanging out with all those guys, you know, on Sundays eating at this one's house, that one's house, right? My friends go over my house and break in my father's chops. Says, you know, not for nothing. It's 90 degrees. You're out here putting the stands together for the feast and everything. And your son's in Vegas, not even working. Picks up the phone. I'm at my friend's house. And he goes, it's your father. Get home. Click.
And how long were you there for?
I was there go over a month and a half, two months.
So two months I was there. Yeah, you were just hanging.
Just getting started. And I picked up the phone, went to LaGuardia, and went right back home. When you got the call, you had to go home, you know?
I was delivering pizza when I first got there.
See that?
I delivered pizza. I worked from 6 to about 11. Go home, take a shower.
And you lived out there by yourself?
And then go out. No, we moved out, a few of us.
Oh, really?
From the neighborhood, yeah. We rented a house. Remember, we rented a beautiful house, $700, four-bedroom house.
Back then, you could do that.
Now it's, now I won't want to be there. Big gang problems in Vegas. Big problems.
Really?
Yeah. Oscar Goodman's a buffoon. You know him, the mayor?
No.
Oh, yeah, he used to be a mob attorney there. He played himself in Casino.
Oh, in Casino, right. Goodman,
he's a buffoon. And now his wife's the mayor. So that's been a big debacle there. You know, the mayor of Vegas doesn't have the power of the mayor of New York City or Chicago. It's more of a figurehead, but they got big problems.
Everybody's getting this.
Oh, I would imagine. But everyone's getting that everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I figured it when I went to Vegas, everybody was corrupt, or a lot of people. And then, but then you come back here and it's the same thing. They're all indicted. They're, you know, I mean, what's Staten Island?
Well, you got to be.
What about that guy from Staten Island? Oh. What's that guy's name?
Oh.
He's running again. He just came out of jail.
Grimm?
Yeah, Grimm. Yeah. What is it? These guys?
I can't mention names. I don't know.
Joe's got a sign
I live
for
there.
Him. Joe's got a sign for him on his lawn.
You know what I mean?
No, I don't put signs
on
my lawn.
Look at Al Sharpton. We talk about it. Is there anyone more corrupt?
What's that?
Is there anybody more corrupt than
his
Al Sharpton?
His daughter fell. She sprained her leg, said it was broken.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it wasn't broken. It was sprained. And they got a... on video dancing in Jamaica beach.
And he doesn't pay his rent.
Yeah.
He's behind the taxes. He hasn't paid his rent in years and years and years. And he was up at the White House how many times with Obama?
Yeah.
And de Blasio, he's a pal of de Blasio's.
I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah.
I'm tired of flying straight. I think it's about time I do something else.
This train could get derailed so far that he might run for office. This is what worries me see what I mean, Steve? He goes off on these tangents.
No, I could do something like that on the island. I could be in office in some capacity.
I'd vote for you. Especially now that
right
I live
thing.
There.
I'd do the right thing.
Steve, would you come near the island if he was running things?
He's always on the island.
I don't really go to the island much.
You're
now.
On the island a lot. I've seen you on the island a lot.
I gotta be honest.
Come on.
I have a lot of friends there.
I know you do. I know
it's
you
a little
do.
Ways.
I know
a
you
lot
do.
Of my ways. Nothing wrong with Staten Island. It's just not, you know.
Have you seen the new show, the Made in Staten Island thing?
Please.
What a disgrace.
I feel bad for the regular people on Staten Island that get annoyed at that.
That's right.
Because between that and then there was what? Hustlers? What was that?
Staten Island Hustle?
That silly thing.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God, I forgot about
are you
that.
Kidding me?
Uh-huh.
Ugh.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's whatever, man. You know.
There you go. You're
everybody
right, right
make
back
it.
To it. Right
everybody's got to do what they have to do. I don't want to be involved.
Really quick, Steve, I want to just ask you, what's your favorite episode of The Sopranos out of all of them?
Probably The Pine Barrens.
Yes.
It was the first time that I had a lot to do in an episode. Uh-huh. And then I also liked the one where me and Tony had the fight. You know,
the lake?
Bobby and Tony had the fight. The lake house, we were up there for like 2 weeks.
Speaking of that one.
Now, who did you kill in that episode? That was your first whack, right?
Uh-huh. That was the only one.
That was the only one.
It was a guy from Montreal, but we shot it in Flatbush.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But they got a French guy. He was very good. He didn't say much, but he was good.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, in Montreal, I don't know if you've been there, but they have those old apartments, very similar to New York, Montreal and Toronto. And they had, like, the apartments with the courtyard.
Uh-huh.
And
that's where it happened.
And that affected you a lot in that episode.
Well, Bobby's life changed forever
right.
after
And I remember the song that was played at the end of that.
Was it Jay and the Americans?
This Magic Moment by Jay and the Americans.
That's what I was going to say. Earlier on, we were talking about how you got to switch these characters up and be a cop or then be a mob guy and everything like that. But I feel in that episode, I remember sitting there sweating, thinking, he doesn't want to do this. He doesn't want
to
kill this guy.
He had to.
And you had all of these different dimensions to your character where he wasn't really a bad guy like the rest of them.
No, but he did some bad things. He grew up in it, kind of. Inherited, I think in one episode I say that I inherited Junior. So, you know, I mean, you know, then he got hooked up with Janice, who was a lunatic, and he's closer to the family.
That's
and,
why you went in the garage to play with trains all day. If you were married to her, I mean, you know.
You know, listen, they wrote me some great stuff. I mean, for a guy that literally went on one episode, maybe... They didn't even guarantee me anything the first year, you know.
But
I did six episodes, you know. They introduced the character, and then I had, you know, little stuff along the way. And,
now, and nobody knew this for a lot of episodes, but you were wearing a fat suit.
The first 2 years.
Yeah.
Then I got fat enough on my own.
Yeah. Well, you were really up there. You should seriously consider salads, you know, that line.
It was so huge.
Yeah, right.
Now, you were saying that they wrote you a lot of good stuff. How many people approach you about the fact that they basically wrote you... I mean, you predicted in the scene where you're sitting in the boat with Tony, you predicted the ending a couple episodes before.
I don't know. Is that true?
I mean, you're sitting
Everyone
there.
Everyone tells me that, but I never
You're sitting know. There with him, and you have the fishing rod out, and he's sitting on the other side, and you're talking about, you know, you never shot anybody, and you're talking about what it might feel like if you get shot and if you die. And then you say, I guess it just turns black and you don't hear anything.
I don't know if I said the black part. I don't know. I mean, maybe you're right, man. You're smarter than me.
And
I said, I guess you don't hear it when it happens, but I don't know if I said everything goes
not,
black.
Not the black, but you said that you don't hear anything.
Yeah.
And then in the end,
I guess.
Don't stop believing. It just cuts off. And you don't hear anything.
I listen, man. There's so many theories, so many things. You know,
my daughter, Therese, went there last Saturday for onion rings.
I went to his house.
Swear to God.
I never went to
Holstein.
The diner.
Yeah, yeah.
Holstein?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've never been.
I went ahead and ordered some onion rings for the table. Best in the state as far as I'm concerned.
He's pretty good. So from wise guy, now to good guy on Blue Bloods, Steve Sharippa, once again, thank you so much for coming
good
by.
Good to see you guys, Anthony.
You're a good guy. You're a neighborhood guy.
You need to, you know, put your impressions to work. Mix and match. That's my suggestion. You got to mix them up. It could be some funny stuff, you know.
Thank you.
You know, straight impressions. And now what's the place in Staten Island? The Laugh House? The Cuckoo House?
That's a diner.
No, what's the... there's a comedy club.
Yeah, it's inside a diner now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's in the Colonnade. Yeah, it's in the diner.
Oh, I know the Colonnade.
I used to...
You know, I lived in Staten Island actually for about 4 months.
Oh, is it?
On Buell Avenue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right near there.
Season three. I had my friends were firemen.
The Looney Bin.
The Looney Bin.
That's it. Yeah,
did they
ever
film anything in Staten Island?
A lot.
Nothing was ever.
Well, Boardwalk Empire was
all
there.
No, I'm saying Sopranos. There was never anything big. I mean, it looks like the Pine Barrens, but it's not.
I don't think so. I don't.
Take it easy, all right? Take it easy. Another one.
You're a flag-waving Staten Island.
Well, we just
moved there, and I'm not really... I don't feel at home. I miss... I feel
well, you'll be moving to
the
Jersey soon, so don't...
Yeah. And then after Jersey, it's witness protection. That's how it works.
But isn't that it, Joe? It's Brooklyn, Staten Island...
And witness protection. That's how it is.
I think that's a great place to say that I'm intern Anthony from New 102.7.
And I'm Joe Causey from CBS FM. Once again, Steve Sharippa, thank you so much for coming by to the
thank you guys.
Brooklyn Zone podcast. Check them out on Blue Bloods. Until next time, have a great week, everybody.